We know it's been a crazy couple of days in politics, and we're all trying to work out what's happening and what's coming up next. So I thought I would get a person who has been on the ground in Canberra observing it all going around, because he is in the opposition. And Andrew Leigh is the minister, the federal member for FINA. He is the shadow assistant treasurer, the shadow minister for competition and productivity, shadow minister for trade and services. It's a long list. He's also written a book. But the old adage that a week is a long time in politics certainly holds true this week. And it's like an episode of Survivor right now, with Peter Dutton challenging Malcolm Turnbull for the leadership. But Andrew Leigh is on the phone from the city of Roundabouts. How are you, Andrew?
Very well, Mick. Maybe Hunger Games.
Hunger Games.
they seem to be very interested in fighting among themselves. Not so interested in kind of issues like inequality and wage growth and climate change.
Or running the country.
Yeah, exactly.
But to be a fly on the wall in some of those Liberal Party rooms at the moment, it's really, there's a lot of squabbling going on within the Liberal Party at the moment. We've seen the challenge yesterday morning, of course, and now we hear Dutton's shoring up the numbers for another challenge. What's it been like the last couple of days to be in Canberra?
Utterly crazy. And as you say, the Liberal Party is riven between people who are economic liberals and people who are tinfoil hat conservatives, who, you know, don't believe in the science of climate change, who believe that don't believe in sensible economic policy, and that divide down the Liberal Party is really going to remain regardless of who they choose as leader. It's almost as though they're deciding whether they're a small L Liberal Party or a capital C Conservative Party.
Indeed, and we've seen Malcolm Turnbull rolling over time and time again to appease the conservative arm of the Liberal Party with his policies, but still they're not happy. They're still not happy with him being leader, and they're trying to install Peter Dutton into that role. Will they even be happy with him?
Look, I think some of them will, but I think the Australian people will look at Peter Dutton and they'll see a man who was the only front bencher to walk out of the apology to the stolen generations, somebody who was the father of the GP tax, voted worst health minister in 40 years, and somebody whose approach to politics is a pretty aggressive, divisive one that I'm not sure suits the sort of sunny, optimistic nature of most Australians.
Well, that's true. And it's actually been quite surprised in that quite a lot of people actually don't really know who Dutton is, especially young people who might be going, oh, this Dutton guy's come out of nowhere. What's he even done? Why is he even there? And I was talking to my young producer earlier on, and he wasn't quite sure who Dutton was. So for some, it's actually quite come out of nowhere, which to me is a little bit of a surprise. Now, on Twitter today, you described how you actually, for once, actually agree with arch conservative Erica Betts that the real rift in the Liberal Party is over values and not personalities. Do you have really concerns that the Liberal Party is going in a really right-wing direction, and that if Dutton gets in, it's really just going to push the party even further in that direction?
Look, I really do. There's an essay written in Harper's Magazine by Richard Hofstadter in 1964 called The Paranoid Style in American Politics. And it's not just an essay that helps explain the rise of Richard Nixon. It also helps explain much of what's going on in US politics, but also a lot of the extremists on the Liberal Party. It's that notion that there is a vast left-wing conspiracy that has somehow invented climate change and has invented the notion of the global financial crisis. And then once you move out of the realm of facts and moderation, then you can devolve pretty quickly into the crazy land of Tea Party conspiracy theories. And I do worry that too many of those extremists are ascendant in the Liberal Party. That's bad for the country, because we don't get sensible long-run economic reform. We don't get to tackle some of these big challenges. We get power prices continuing to rise, emissions continuing to rise, and investors who might otherwise invest in gas or solar or wind say, well, I'll put my money in another country, not in Australia, which seems to be where the Liberal Party is uncertain as to whether it's Arthur or Martha.
Well, that's right. And we've seen Turnbull trying to get the National Energy Guarantee through. It's been stalling. He's trying to compromise and change. But this is almost going to be his downfall in the end, it seems. And I can't see him being able to get that through his own party.
That's right. And, it'd take you back 9 years to 2009 when Malcolm Turnbull lost the Liberal Party leadership because he was going to back an emissions trading scheme. And then since he's come to office, he said, let's have an energy intensity scheme. We said, great, we'll work with you on that.
Yeah.
He couldn't get it past his party room. He sent the chief scientist, Alan Finkel, off to create a thing called the clean energy target. We said, sure, we'll work with you on that. He couldn't get it through his party room. Then he had this thing called national energy guarantee. We said, yep, we can work with you on that, so long as it drives down power prices and reduces emissions. But he couldn't get that through his party room. And so, you know, he has been blocked at every step of the way by the arch conservatives, and now they've got the upper hand regardless of whether or not they're able to install the leader. I mean, Malcolm Indeed. Turnbull or Peter Dutton or Scott Morrison or Julie Bishop, it will end up being that same divide in the Liberal Party.
It's definitely Groundhog Day going on there in Canberra every day. And of course, we found out today that the corporate tax cuts did not get through the Senate, and basically they've now dumped that policy. The one of the key policies that Turnbull was carrying. As someone quite involved in finance yourself, what sort of impact would those cuts have had, and if they had have passed? I mean, are you sort of cheering a bit now because it didn't get through?
Well, they would have busted the budget, and they would have meant that that we had to take money out of schools and hospitals.
Yeah.
And this is going to be the case if the Liberals are re-elected at the next election. I mean, Matthias Cormann is out there saying yesterday the moment will come when Parliament will have to revisit this proposal.
Mm.
Malcolm Turnbull was saying earlier this year we'll be committed to it at the next election. So, you know, I think their desire to give a big corporate tax handout to the top end of town remains undimmed. Simply because they haven't been able to get it through the Senate doesn't mean they're going to back off on it.
It doesn't seem like it. I mean, you just don't know from day to day. But I think if there's another leader in the next couple of days, then everything rolls on its head yet again.
I mean, they've taken it out of their costings, but I don't think realistically they've taken it out of their knapsack.
Maybe. What are your thoughts on when an election may be called? I mean, I know there's a few days getting thrown around. It's hard to speculate, but if you were to guess, what would you have thought?
I have absolutely no idea at the moment. Yeah. I mean, people are talking about October this year, May next year. Mm. There's a real question as to whether if there was a change within the Liberal Party, Peter Dutton could command a majority in the Parliament. He's got questions over his eligibility to sit in the Parliament as a result of investments in childcare centres that receive federal government funds. So all of that could well lead him to race towards an early election. But we're ready for that. I mean, we changed our party rules after a period of our own leadership instability on the Labor side, and Bill Shorten's been the leader for 5 years, and that's meant we've been able to focus on policy. And as a policy nerd, I could be delighted by nothing more than the opportunity just to constantly work on policy over the course of the last 5 years, and to work together rather than to be worried about personalities and bickering.
Yeah, it's a good point you make that the Labor changed the rules about how to change a leader, and the Liberals haven't followed suit with that. I'm thinking they might start looking at that idea.
I reckon that's a pretty strong bet.
Yeah.
And, you know, what it's done for us has been has been very valuable. I think it was a sensible change. Because fundamentally, for the Liberals, this isn't a problem about the captain. This is a problem about the whole team.
Indeed. Now, you are based in Canberra, and understandably there's been a bit of news lately about the euthanasia bill that basically was blocked by the High Court, I think it was, a long time ago when ACT tried to legalise euthanasia. And you've been involved in and looking to debate this again. What have you been involved with there?
Yeah, so 21 years ago, the Northern Territory had legislated on euthanasia, and the Federal Parliament passed a private members' bill moved by Kevin Andrews that said that the Federal Parliament would take away from the territories the right to legislate on euthanasia.
That's right.
Because no state or territory had legislated at that stage. We're now in a situation where Victoria has passed its own voluntary assisted dying laws, and the ACT and Northern Territory legislatures are much more mature and grown up than they were back in the late 1990s. So Luke Gosling, a member from the Northern Territory, and I have moved a private members' bill saying that we should get rid of that ban on the territories legislating on euthanasia. He has reservations about euthanasia. I support euthanasia with safeguards, but both of us believe that the territories should be able to have this conversation.
I see. So you're both sort of coming from different sides of the fence, but you both agree that, you know, the territory shouldn't be hamstrung by a previous decision on this.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. It's about territories' rights for us. So we believe that the territories should be able to have the conversation. It's a difficult conversation. I don't take anything away from that. But if people in Victoria, Western Australia can have this conversation, there's no reason why people in the ACT and the Northern Territory shouldn't be able to as well.
Indeed. Well, we'll follow that with interest to see what happens. But we're also following a whole bunch of stories going on out of Canberra right now, and you are in the thick of it. We really thank you for joining us here on 2SER this afternoon.
Absolute pleasure.
Enjoy the circus being on the other side of the fence right now. I think,
thanks, Mick.
It'll be interesting to see what happens, and thank you for joining us on 2SER.
My pleasure. Take care.
Cheers. That was Minister Andrew Lee. He's the Minister for FENA and also the Shadow Assistant Treasurer. Really great to chat to him about what's been going on in Canberra the last couple of days, especially from someone on the floor of the Parliament.